You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really knew you would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the war, and I'd like to give you information. That's my favorite, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Someday I'm going to have us all say that catchphrase together, because this is what we need to do, and Kathy is absolutely right. It is time to stand up. By the way, I want to share with you one little tidbit that Kathy said to me as we were saying goodbye between the hourly breaks. She said her best source told her this is all going down before the end of April. Kathy's a lot like me. She doesn't go out there and predict dates. That's something I know about her, know very well. I'm the same way. And I think, I don't know that we can take this to the bank per se, because I think it's a risky thing to predict dates, but nonetheless, she did say very clearly by the end of April, get your house in order. And I'm telling you right now, the reason that I have shifted my food emphasis from long-term to short-term is, one, more people can afford it, and they can provide for their family and get them through the initial crisis. But if a time is indeed that short, I've got a four-week emergency food supply package available that was $250. It's now $99. This is for us. This is for the listening audience. This is something that I want to do for our listening audience, okay, because we're setting aside the markups, the shipping, the everything, and we're trying to get this to you at or below cost. And actually, I'm told this is actually below cost. How do you get it? Well, you go to preparewithdave.com. That's right, preparewithdave.com, and that 4 weeks could get you through the initial rush. And if Kathy is correct, or her source is correct, you want to do this sooner rather than later. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine is really the way to go. Also, you heard about Virtual Shield on there. They have a special in my name. 30-day free trial, you heard that, but you get 20% off for life if you use my last name as the coupon code. Okay, so you're going to want to make sure you do that. And if you don't have the Virtual Shield link, go to my YouTube channel, go to the description box, click on the link there, and you'll go right there. And just use my name in the coupon code box. Okay. Oh, dry eye time here. I love Josh Coy. We were kindred spirits, even though I was old enough to be his dad. But I will tell you this. There wasn't a more gifted broadcaster, a more gifted intellectual about what we were facing than Josh Coy. And he and I did one heck of an interview that will be cut off at the end by the NSA, but you'll get the gist. But a two million man FEMA camp, and it's fascinating listening. So without further ado, Todd's going to go ahead and let that roll.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And the Common Sense Show is brought to you by Numana Foods, where we are saving America one meal at a time. Find out why everybody says Numana is the best storable food in the world. They win all the comparison tests. Go to numana.com/Hodges. And don't forget, we got that 5% off deal for our audience using the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Well, on the newsmaker line with me is Josh Coy. Joshua Coy is a talk show host at WYDE FM station in Alabama. He spans four states in his coverage, largest broadcast station in the state, highly respected program, and he and I have been talking about the resurgence of interest in FEMA camps courtesy of the deep state, and Josh has been receiving information on a rather large facility in Alaska. Josh, welcome to the show, and what can you tell my listening audience about what's going on with regard to this FEMA camp?
Well, Dave, as always, first, awesome intro. You're the king of the intros, my friend. You really are. That's good stuff. You make all hosts feel good. I've listened to you interview other people, and everybody's like, wow, that's me he's talking about. So thanks for the pat on the back there.
My pleasure. You do a great job.
Well, I suppose, you know, I could start at the story of what I do on my show is I do what you do and everybody else in alternative media and try to get the information that the mainstream media will not cover and refuses to cover, and we've been doing that for a long time. This week we got incredible vindication for all of our hard work as the mainstream media finally had to pick up all that CIA information. Well, we've been telling you the CIA's doing all those things for the last 10 years. It's not news to us. And if people listen, it's not news to them. This kind of stuff, though, was complete news to me. I had done a show on HAARP, and I knew all about HAARP. I had done a lot of research on HAARP. For those who don't know, the High Active Auroral Research Project is HAARP, a very long, terrible acronym. And HAARP basically is it's an antenna array that has the ability to modify the weather, and it has the ability to modify and harm humanity, make you physically ill, give you all kinds of pain, it can kill you, and it's all through ELF waves. So this is where I was while I was doing this particular show, and when we opened the phone lines up, people began calling in, and one guy called in. I didn't, you know, we have obviously all the states that we're in. I'm used to seeing all the different area codes, and this, I didn't recognize this area code, and it was, come to find out, it was from Alaska. And the guy was literally calling me from Alaska. He is in the military. He's a Marine, and right now he's up around HAARP working. Where HAARP is working on this project, working on the base. There are several different bases all throughout Alaska where HAARP is located. The first one was Fairbanks, Alaska. And I didn't think anything of it. The guy called in. He was a great caller. He knew all about it. He was schooling me on it, schooling all of my listeners on it. And it was great to talk to somebody who was, you know, unafraid. And he asked me at the end of the phone call, can I send you any information on this? I've got information on this somebody needs to see, who's not just going to immediately shred it. Could I send it to you? And of course, I'm not sure, thinking I'll never see anything from it. But I did. And only a couple days later, I get to the station and they hand me this manila envelope with my name on it, return address from Alaska. And I open it up, and what I found was information is the only way I could really put it, that I could not find anywhere else. And one of them was about this massive, I guess all we can call it is a prison, because that's really all it is. You know that FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, has total control over what's called the continuity of government plan after any type of shutdown. Any type of governmental shutdown, COG takes over immediately. The continuity of government plan kicks in. The Constitution basically becomes null and void. And we're able to now be rounded up and sent into what we've always referred to as FEMA camps. And that story made its rounds. How long ago would you say that, Dave? That was, you know, made it so far it was even on television in the mainstream news. How long ago was that? A year, maybe? A year and a half?
You know, I remember the event. I just don't recall the exact time frame. But, you know, HAARP as a whole has been with us since the days of Nick Begich. And Nick did great work. He wrote a book called Angels Don't Play This HAARP.
Great book.
Yeah, great book. And I don't remember the publication date. I read it till the cover fell off. But he had all the patents of all the technology. So this wasn't just left to the imagination. Nick is a consummate researcher. And he went on, mid-90s maybe, 94, 95, for HAARP's Genesis revelation. I know Jesse Ventura of late, what was 2010, actually visited Gekko in Alaska and tried to film from there until they came out and ushered him away. So it's been around for a while. The event you're talking about, though, I'm going to say, yeah, between a year and 2 years.
Well, you know, any time you start to see the mainstream media, which is so incredibly controlled, and it's so obvious, that's why their numbers are terrible. If this election proved anything, it was a proven fact that the alternative media wasn't a game, that more people were not getting their information from that than anywhere else. And this is you know, just what we've had in front of us, just from those who turn the television off and turn the radio on, or go online and find things for themselves. And so when this letter came to me, and I'll read you the very first part of the letter. The guy sent me a letter and a series of maps. And it isn't Google Earth maps. The guy was printing them off his computer. You can tell very obviously these aren't maps that the public has. I've used Google Earth to try to find each individual location. I can't find them. Now, here, and he told me I wasn't going to be able to find them, but the maps that he has given me give the coordinates for where they are. And I'll read you. This is the first paragraph of the letter that he sent. And this ties in to the continuity of government plan. It ties in to Trump. It ties into this coup that we're all witnessing from the elite wanting to take down the president. It ties into all that, to the FEMA camps. Every bit of that is tied into this, because this prison is close to another HAARP facility. One HAARP facility is in Fairbanks, and they're spread out over four different locations. One of them is incredibly close to the largest prison in the world. Its capacity is 2 million prisoners.
My gosh.
That is an incredible number. When you hear that at first, like, yeah, that's got to be exaggerated. Here's the quote from Jim Mars, one of his books. It says, quote, FEMA has over 400 prison camps across the United States, all ready to receive prisoners and sitting empty under the imposition of martial law or the continuity of government program. The camps are all said to be connected by road and rail. Some even have a mini airstrip for landing small airplanes, military cargo planes. Quote, most, apparently, he says, can house around 20,000 prisoners. So most of these prison camps that they've built, which are nothing really but decommissioned military bases that they have rebuilt, put state-of-the-art camera systems, and turns into a prison that sits there empty waiting for you and I. But this one, he says, most of them can hold 20,000 prisoners, but one in Fairbanks, Alaska can take 2 million prisoners. He says that under the Rex 84 program, which you and I have talked about, and you've talked about, Rex 84, that program, once that lever gets pulled and everything falls out from under us, it's FEMA that takes over, the peasants. But this kind of stuff has been everywhere, and most people have heard this before. The things that I hadn't heard of are what I got from my friend who listened to the show and sent me this packet. And I'll read you the first paragraph from that real quick, because it has a phrase in there, Dave, that's a little bit creepy that I've never heard of. Here's the quote. Top of the page says, Josh, along with this letter, I have included images of the JBER, or JBER, Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. On the images, you will see the elephant pen. Never heard that phrase.
I've never heard that. Can you say that last part again, the elephant pen?
I'll read it again. Yeah, it says, on the images, he's talking about the maps that he sent me. It says, along with this letter, I have included several maps from the JBER Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. On the images, the pictures, the maps, you will see the elephant pen highlighted, as well as a former missile silo. Now, according to this guy, all over these areas that are controlled by the federal government all of these areas. This guy is, he's an MP. All right, so he has actual authority. Yet he doesn't have a high enough security clearance. According to him, he's almost gotten arrested twice. But there are missile silos that are supposed to be empty all over Alaska, all over North Dakota. And these are other stories that never get talked about, but they store various things in a lot of these missile silos. It's kind of like a government safety deposit box. That's how I think of it. I mean, you got this massive amount of space, and you can put whatever you want into it. Nobody's going to be allowed to go and dig through it. It's just kind of like a little safety deposit box for the elite. And this is the other part of the story that he sent me. It says, quote, "The elephant pen. There is not much known about it. All I know is that you can't get near it." He says, "If it has three separate security gates that are all manned, and the security increases with the security clearance needed to go through each individual gate." In other words, he can get through gate one. He stops by gate two. If he tries to sneak around, which he says he tried to do, this guy is in the Marines. He's in the military, but he's not allowed to go past this line. If you go past the second gate, all of that security becomes a little more dangerous and violent. If you go all the way to the third gate, they'll literally begin to open fire on you. Now, here's his quote. "Not much is known about the elephant pen. All I know, as you can see it on the maps, is that you can't get near it. It has three security gates that are manned constantly. If you stop in front or near the entrance to one of these gates, someone will pull up within a few seconds and ask you if you need help." Now, he says that he knew some of these crypto guys, that's how he put it. I didn't use that phrase, that's his quote. He calls them crypto. And for those who don't comprehend that word or don't understand the context in which we use it, there's such a thing called cryptozoology, and there's such a thing called cryptoarchaeology. And these are pretty far out there ideas. And to title something a crypto, that's not a good thing, especially when you're dealing with what this guy deals with on a daily basis. He says they have no clue on what the elephant pen is if you question some of the MPs. Some say it's a radar, some say it's an antenna that intercepts data. But others flat out have no idea what it's about because their security clearance is not high enough. He says there is a bit more information, just not in Alaska, but in North Carolina and other areas throughout the country. He wrote, I'm still in the military, but most likely will be getting forced into retirement early within the next 6 months or so. And gave me his email address, and I'm not going to give the guy's name. I don't want to. I'm going to send this to you, by the way, Dave, so you can put it up on your website. The other part of the story is the missile silo stuff. And I'll get to how this ties into the elite and Trump here momentarily, but apparently this elephant pen is the 2 million prison. I've never heard the phrase elephant pen before, so I took forever to get anything that was even remotely close to it to pop up when I was searching for it. However, when I did type it in several different times, it came back with nothing. If I went to Google, it came back with zero results at all. It's pretty hard to come back with zero results completely. Now, here's the quote from the missile silo. He says, "The missile silos are supposed to be decommissioned. They are supposed to be empty. They are located on top of an Arctic Valley mountain, or on top of Arctic Valley Mountain." That's the name of the mountain. I mean, it's like in Chattanooga, he's doing my show up there. We had Lookout Mountain. Lookout Mountains was literally right where our station was. So this is Arctic Valley Mountain. It says it's 260-degree view of Anchorage, Alaska, that I've sent you, as well as the Joint Richardson Base, and photographs of it. down the ridge and to the right, there is a ski slope, which in my 5 years of being in Alaska, never was operational. It is a former civilian ski slope that has now been closed and the land usurped by the military. Off the main road, going up, there is a side road or a fire break that goes to the silo areas. It stays locked with a gate and an MP patrol on a very regular basis. About 200 yards south of the silo, there is a parking area where they have picnic tables, viewing areas of the valley, and you can pick wild blueberries and eat them while you're sitting there doing your security checks. What he's trying to say is that this used to be civilian territory. This was a place where they went skiing, and they took it over. So, but it still has all the picnic tables, and I find that amazing how normal it is to them. It says the MPs will show up immediately if you go more than halfway up the mountain. If you can even get to the silo to see it, to view it with your eyes, he says the MPs will show up and you will be escorted off the mountain. He says, I know, because I was escorted off the mountain twice. The second time, I was given a warning that if I was caught again, I wouldn't enjoy the consequences. End quote. If I was caught again, I wouldn't enjoy the consequences.
Well, why don't they want the people on the side of the mountain?
Why don't they want them?
Yeah, I mean,
on the side of the mountain?
Yeah, what's the... He said that if you go any further than where he went with these picnic tables were, what's the big mystery on being outside the perimeter of the camp? Is it that you can see down and see everything and get an aerial perspective? And what's the prohibition?
I think it's that he mentions this missile silo and its importance to the government, and but he mentions the elephant pen as well, and he says that he's never even gotten close to seeing the elephant pen because the whole side of the mountain where it is completely blocked off with checkpoints. The elephant pen and the silo are, and he wrote this on the maps that he sent me. He says the elephant pen and the silo are almost perfectly in line with each other. And he gave me the map, and the map has a perfect, literally, they're perfectly lined up. And as you turn the page and you go from map to map, you get the elephant pen, and it is a very strange looking image. If you've ever used Google Earth before, you know, you kind of have to learn what kind of graphics they use to show you this or to show you that. And the graphics that they use in this map, I've never seen anything like it. It looks like a gigantic dome. Now again, I don't have any photographs of the pen itself. All I have is a satellite photo of it that he sent me. And when I went to Google Earth just to see if I could see anything, I didn't see any of the things that he's speaking of. He says that the Highland area is a compound, a training center, and all training for any HAARP program, all training for any elephant pen program, all training period in this particular juncture is done underground. That's pretty far, Dave.
That's interesting to me. Let's talk about elephant pen training versus missile silo training. It sounds like this is a dual-purpose facility, what they often call in the military a purple base, which implies multi-jurisdiction, multi-branches involved, and more than one mission. They're just sharing a common geographical area. That's what I think we're seeing here from what you're saying. But the elephant pen, it sounds like this is the incarceration area.
Yeah, that's what I got from it. Reading the what we read out of the book, Jim Morris's own book, talking about this 2 million people that can fit into this prison in Alaska. And I found the prison in Alaska. I looked it up. That way I wanted to see how far or how close it was, rather, to HAARP, and how close it was to where this guy is stationed. And the reason I wanted to do that was because these two things have a lot in common. And I knew a lot about HAARP. I knew that we used HAARP for weather weaponry. I knew that and you know this, but for those who don't, we have tried for decades, or we have proof going back decades that show various scientists who work for the DOD or even the War Department back when there was still a War Department, many scientists who work for the military going to Congress to get appropriation money for various projects up around the Arctic. And they stand before Congress and make statements, and it's all copied down in the Library of Congress, because it has to be. And when you read it, it's, you know, some of it's 1961, by a Dr. McDonald, stands there in front of Congress and says, yeah, we need to build a weather weapon because the Russians are building one, and if we don't, we'll all die. The more that I read about HAARP, the more dangerous I began to see it becoming. And Jesse Ventura did do a show on this. He did speak with people who knew all about HAARP. However, they explained how they can put thoughts into your head.
Yes.
And this is how I'll take this back to what we're seeing right now with Donald Trump. Because I honestly tiled this in together, Dave. Over the last few days, like I said earlier, you know, we've been vindicated in the mainstream media, which doesn't really matter all that much to me. But it is nice every now and again to just kind of, well, see, we were right, you're wrong, that's just what we do. And the more that I watched it, I kept thinking, what they're doing to Trump right now is a 21st century coup. And think about that. And think about that phrase. I mean, that kind of came on me when John F. Kennedy was murdered by our government for assisting in taking the military-industrial complex down, when he was murdered for assisting in taking the CIA down, splintering it into 1,000 pieces and scattering it to the wind, like he was quoted as saying. These are the kind of things that Trump wants to do, but back when Kennedy did it, there was no internet. There wasn't this unbelievable amount of technology to swim through that the government had that they could use against you. Now we have a 21st century coup going, one where there is no secrecy inside the White House. And you know why that is, Dave.
Why's that?
Well, the man can't do anything. Anything he does is being closely watched to the point of absurdity. But it isn't just that. It's information leaks. It's moles inside the White House that are working for the president, living, some of them, in the White House. Meanwhile, they're really just double agents for our own government.
True.
You know history, Dave. This is unprecedented. This is something that is... We didn't have that kind of technology in 63. One of the guys that works for our station, and I was telling you this the other day when you and I were talking, he was a host on our station. I was on his show a million different times. He had Trump on during the campaign as Trump's momentum began to grow, and he had Donald Trump on our station and did this whole hour-long interview with him. Well, about a week or two later, Trump had someone get a hold of this person. I don't want to use his name because he now works in the White House. But Trump's people got a hold of him, offered him a position with the campaign. And if he would go up and live in Trump Tower and work on the campaign. And that's exactly what he did for about 4 to 5 months before the election. he lived in Trump Tower, and he works. And this is a guy I've done radio with back and forth for over a year. Well, now, when Trump won, this friend of mine was offered a job inside the White House, and now he goes to work every day in the West Wing. Now, I'm not saying this, look at the people that I know. I'm telling you this because I've spoken with him, and I wanted to know what exactly is going on in the White House. How bad is it? Is it anywhere near as bad as it looks when it comes to people eavesdropping on the president, secretly trying to record him, secretly trying to do this, trying to get information to see, to sell it to whoever wants to plaster it up there for everybody to see? It's a coup. And when I spoke with him about this, his response was, well, we definitely know what's going on. And I asked, can you elaborate a little bit? Yeah, I can elaborate. Nobody's allowed to have cell phones around the president. What? Because, as we all now know, cell phones are nothing but transmitter receivers. Of course, we've been telling you that forever, that your movements are tracked by your phone. Your emails are read, but we've been telling people that for decades. Anyway, point being, this is the White House that we now have. And I'm truly worried about the guy. Harp's power doesn't need to be in the hands of people like this. The elite have been backed into a corner for the first time since 1963. That's a long time. And this is a very dangerous animal. You back the elite into the corner, and call them whatever you want. Call it the elite, call it the establishment. None of that matters. The mainstream media called them the establishment because they didn't want to use the phrase elite. That's a bit too conspiratorial. They don't even use that one. But I've never seen anything like this before. Trump, when he won the election, and I'll just, come out and say it, the election of Donald Trump showed the elite that the internet, that the alternative media, that information that isn't caught in that fishing net of the mainstream media, all of the information that we get to people, now that is so readily available to every American, the elite have become more dangerous than ever before. They feel threatened. These are people who have been in massive positions of power. You don't want them threatened. Don't get me wrong, I want them taken down. But I'm worried about my president. They're acting in this self-preservation mode. And you're the psychologist. You know the self-preservation mode that we all operate in.
Right.
This is how the elite operate. They're in that self-preservation mode. It's this by any means necessary mentality. They're showing us every day how disturbed they are by the lack of mainstream information being handed to the American people. They're so frustrated with this alternative media power. They can't handle it anymore. And what I'm worried about is they're going to force Donald Trump into some kind of position where he's going to have to make an executive order to go after each individual, I guess, First Amendment act. First Amendment gives us the right to free speech. Well, if you're going to force the president into this position where he may actually have to throw out some kind of restriction on free speech just so there could be a way for everything he says in the White House not to be in the media less than 3 hours after it comes out of his mouth. But that would be far stepping over the line. When you mentioned yesterday, when you and I were talking, when you spoke about Trump and you were explaining, just the things that you've been working on, that I kind of started thinking about some of the things that you were saying about those inside this very small network of people within the government who are going to be going after this guy, who have been going after him. The weapons and the technology that they have at their disposal to do these things, it's far beyond anything we could imagine.
They really are. What do you make of the capacity of this FEMA camp, going back to that for a moment, and the fact it can house 2 million? Well, Josh, let me step aside here and let me just tell you some things. I made a couple phone calls today, and I didn't get anything in depth, but I got, yeah, I know about that, Dave. And I got the fact that this camp is highly segmented. It has multiple purposes, as we've already alluded to, and that it's also an extermination factory. It's also a re-education facility. So it looks like there's different levels of prisoners. But 2 million, and I asked this question, I said, why Alaska? And they said, well, when you escape, or if you were able to escape, or someone was going to try to launch a rescue effort for you, where would you go?
Right.
That was what I was told today. Where would you go? You leave a facility to freeze to death? But 2 million is just mind-boggling to me.
I know. And to call them an elephant pen, to use a phrase like that, man, that's so sadistic. It's just these are what some people have referred to as super prisons. And apparently, a super prison it looks like a normal prison, but it has a red cape and it has a big S on the back of it. I'm just giving you what I've learned over the last few days. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe that may not be true. I don't know, but I just read that.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in that, and I think that what we're looking at here is this is probably a high security max. And let me link it into what I know to already be true. I do know that the NSA maintains a rating system for the level of dissidents that their AI picks up, their AI meaning artificial intelligence, as they scan every phone call, every conversation with an earshot of a phone call, or a Vizio TV now, as we've discovered, or your computer. And as a consequence, they have scored you on 16 different dimensions. It's a lot like the test that psychologists label the MMPI, which is a 16-dimensional test to basically categorize your personality in 16 different areas, and then you get an aggregate score that's a sum total score. Well, I've been told that this system that they have, this AI system, is exactly the same, but no one really knows where they put the line for, okay, these are the people that are going to go to the 2 million Supermax facility in Alaska. You're the high priority guys. You're the Steve Quayles, the Doug Agmans, and so forth. We have to get you out of the way. And then there would be a second tier that they would move into less secure facilities. And then the third tier might be the re-education people. But what I was told was where we originally thought that these FEMA camps were divided by purpose, now in the larger ones, they have multi-purposes within the same camp. Some are re-educated, some are exterminated. And this is probably what we're seeing here in Alaska. Josh, did you get anything else from your contact with regard to organization and what he thinks this facility is for and how far it's going to go?
Yeah, I actually got, when I started doing the research on it, from what he gave me, and I think he was giving me small amounts of information for a reason. Kind of like, here's a few breadcrumbs. I can't, being a whistleblower when you're still in the military, I mean, that's a treasonous offense. You're not supposed to do that. And so that's why when I even spoke with the guy on the air, I was like, don't give your real name. When you send it to me, don't even give me your real name. I don't want your rank. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want anything to happen to you. And he said that he's already been warned twice for attempting to take photographs of both the missile silo and the elephant pen. And MPs have been on him. He said they were on him before he even knew what was going on. And there is, so when I was doing research on all of this, I came across something. This was just today. This was like 2 hours ago. I came across something that I had never heard of, and I wanted to see if you'd ever heard of this organization before. You know how the elite have the NSA, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, all at their disposal Now, we already learned some of the things that the CIA has been doing forever. But when you've got organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations controlling the NSA is a catch-all term. I mean, all of these other smaller these groups inside the intel community, they just get smaller and smaller, but they branch off of the NSA and the CIA. One of them is called the National Reconnaissance Office,
yes,
NRO.
Very familiar with it.
It's called the Blue Beret. Mm-hmm. These are great. I mean, organizations that splinter off the NSA. I had never heard of this particular one that I found about 2 hours ago, and the only reason that I stumbled across it was because I was reading about Trump's background when it comes to the occult, and this kind of takes it into a weird place, but we always have known that the elite believe very strongly in the occult. The Pizzagate stuff is a very occultic kind of attitude. You know, we're greater than you, we're going to do this because it will allow us to gain more power, etc., etc. But it isn't just that. Satanism and any type of esoteric or occult practice is very widespread in Washington and very well known. Symbolism all throughout downtown D.C. pretty much speaks an entire language that, unless you know how to read it and you know what each individual symbol means, it just looks like a bunch of pretty scribblings on made out of concrete. However, all of that junk means something to these people. Well, Trump is that guy who's not that insider. He's now in the White House, and he's not someone who is a part of all these individual secret societies. One of the ones that I found a couple hours ago was one that is supposed to be at the very top of the food chain when it comes to these secret societies. And I wanted to see if you'd ever heard of it. It's called the Scarlet Council.
No, I've never heard of that.
This is something that I'd never heard of.
Me neither.
When I first saw that, I had to go and look it up. And I could only find a very small amount of information. So I started going to different books. Do you know what I found? The title of Scarlet Council, when I began to dig through the internet, couldn't find it anywhere, trying all these different keyword searches. I found it in a book written by Manly P. Hall. Manly P. Hall is probably one of the most powerful Masons. I don't like really referring to him as that. He was someone who went all over the entire earth, gathering a massive amount of information and pouring it into about 3 or 4 different books. And one of them I just happened to pick up. It's all about the occult, all about the elite. And it mentioned several different times the Scarlet Council. And this apparently, like I said, it's somewhere really, really high up that is maintaining that elite order. I'm just throwing you a question there. What do you think this is leading to?
Well, I think we're probably looking there. There's things that I know about the Council of Nine. I've written about that recently. We've known about the Committee of 300
right.
for quite some time. And
right.
so it's first of all, you have to understand, to throw us off the trail, they frequently change their names. They frequently change their modus operandi in terms of where they meet. There's a few consistencies like the Trilaterals, the CFR, and the Bilderberg. But a lot of these other organizations are very fluid, mm-hmm. and they often serve as the working groups. And to obscure what they are doing, they don't maintain the same name over and over. And I'll give you a good example in the mainstream that we're all familiar with. Blackwater. How many times has Blackwater changed their name? And so when we say the Scarlet Group, you know, this could be anything, Josh, but I guarantee you it's a working group for one of the organizations that I previously mentioned.
And that's what I think it is. I mean, they do change these names off and on. One of the stories that I was reading about the HARP thing and all this information this person sent me, I began scanning through it, and he sent me another email after this show that I did this week, and he is now going to be sending me another packet this week. And I'm almost scared to see what the guy's going to bring me this week. This guy's just, and obviously I'm not an idiot. You have to kind of be able to feel it out. Is this all to try and entrap me? Am I now in possession of classified documents, which is illegal? Is that something that they're trying to do? I don't think what I've got in my hand is illegal. However, if I maintain a relationship with this guy, sending me information online, I don't even think that's intelligent. I don't think it should be sent back and forth in an email at all. So whatever information I get from him before I put it out on the air, I have to study it a great deal. And you know that as much as I do. It's just something you have to do.
But you know, Josh, I'll tell you, I've come to the opinion that the NSA is this all-seeing eye. There is no obscuring of things. Anything, you know, I did an interview with a show that's coming out on MTV, and I was on their pilot program. It's called The Left Right. And what I told them is something that I've known for years, is that anything that emits any kind of electrical signal can be piggybacked for eavesdropping purposes. And I mean anything. I'm talking about something as simple as a light bulb in your lamp can be used to measure and hear what you're saying. And, you know, and I'll give you an example. They really want to catch you. They're going to catch you. And here's what I mean by that. You leave your cell phone behind to go on the run. Okay? You go on the run and you're not around anybody else with a cell phone. Because if you are, the first word that you speak, that voice print is captured and goes directly to the NSA AI. And they come back with a match in an instant geographic location. But it even gets worse than that. I mean, facial recognition is everywhere. For the minute that you walk outside your house, and some people say even when you're in your house, but when you walk outside your house, you are scanned. And you're scanned by computers that are in sometimes in telestreet light posts. They also can be satellites in space. They're the traffic cams. You are scanned from the whole day, the whole night, and virtually, if they want to find you, they can find you. They'd have to determine what is your priority if they want to find you. Now, your average police do not have this kind of capability that I'm talking about, but the NSA sure as heck does. And this is, Josh, is what's frightening, because it's Big Brother run amok. And this is why something I asked you about before we came on the air,
right,
about the show Colony on USA Network. I'm enthralled with this show because I've never seen a TV show incorporate such brutal martial law tactics that come right out of government documents like FM 39.4 that was leaked to the public. And I wrote quite a bit about that. Steve Quayle was exposing this, as with Doug Hagman. And when we look at these documents, the provisions that are talked about there, particularly with like riot control, we see this in the show. And then it's like technology on steroids for martial law enforcement. And this is what really has captured my attention about the show. I don't care about the actors, the personalities, the internal drama, the family dynamics. You know, that's all for people that want to buy into that vicarious enjoyment. But what fascinates me is the organizational structures of the martial law force. And very quickly, if the listening audience isn't familiar with them, talk about Josh. Let me go.
I hope I'm back live, because that's where we got cut off. And that particular departure from Josh, we were getting a little too sensitive, because I got into AI voice printing, AI cross-referencing, and Todd, are we back here? Let me just validate that we're back live. Are we back live here? Okay, we're back live. Anyway, let's just say I walk into a room, and when I walk into that room, you're a known dissident, and my cell phone comes in proximity to you within a certain distance. That drives my threat matrix score up. That's how sophisticated these people are. It's absolutely fantastic, and it was such a fascinating interview with Josh, And it just makes me realize how much we lost with his passing. And one of the things that I think, well, Todd was telling me during the break that there might be some scaling down of his previous shows and just taking out content and taking out the identifiers and maybe running those. And if we're able to do that technologically, I'm going to run those up on my website, because he had some absolute fantastic, fantastic shows. Josh Coy, taken from us way too soon, way too young, so much talent that was left undeveloped. He would have truly been one of the giants in the field, and he was well on his way. He was well on his way. When the big boys take you off a Crawford Management Station, yeah, they're taking you seriously. Well, it's been an interesting show. It's been a disturbing show. I want to thank my friend Kathy Rubio. She has such a soft, calm, wonderful, motherly demeanor. I just love her as a person. But inside that brain, man, does she know her stuff, and she has great sources. And I want to thank Bob for coming on, Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com, and sharing his expertise in terms of, we need to get ready. We do. You can't do everything, but you can do enough to maybe make a difference to your family getting through the short term. Because most crises burn out in 30 days, pandemics, revolutions. The worst is over in 30. If you can get through the 30, you can usually get through, which is why I chose those four-week food packages that were $250, now $99, preparewithdave.com. That's why I chose that time frame. Wow, okay. Yeah, I'm a little heavy-hearted right now because I keep reflecting back to Josh. And I want to thank all of you who wrote to me. So many of you wrote to me and said how much you'll miss him and how much you appreciated him, and you expressed your condolences for our loss. I appreciate it. I truly do. We have a great show for you next week. We have Steve Quayle on, and we may have a surprise guest with that too. Too soon to tell right now. I'll be talking to Steve more about this during the week. But with times being what they are, I couldn't think of a better person to have on the show. And Steve's going to be with us for 2 hours. 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen. It's fantastic. He doesn't do those kind of interviews anymore. I'm glad I'm his friend. And I do count him as one of my close friends. Don't forget about his conference in March. Details on my website. We'll see you back here next week. God bless.